And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Remember to take my poll up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. It's a real simple yes, no question. Will 2012 be a better year than 2011? Yes or no? You'll find that up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. I'll announce the answers or the winners of the poll on Thursday's show. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is a new year, a new way to look at ourselves and the world. Each of my guests is giving us a different perspective to start off 2012. My next guest is a business consultant, a change leader, and founder of Reinvention Nation. He'll provide some common sense ideas for reinventing ourselves in 2012 from his book, Reinvention Made Easy. And if you have questions or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Jim Mathis is the best-selling author of Reinvention Made Easy, Change Your Strategy, Change Your Results. He's also the founder of Reinvention Nation, a community dedicated to everything reinvention in new and different economy. Jim says the economy is not down, it's just different. He's a featured contributor for the businessinsider.com, an international certified speaking professional, and a founder of the Mathis Group, a southeastern based consulting group providing products and services that drive market leadership. Jim works across industry lines to use common sense approaches to solving the challenges that companies and organizations face in the new world of work. Joining us from the South Carolina area. Hi, Jim, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. I'm actually based in Atlanta right now.
Atlanta?
It's in South Carolina. That's why we say southeast based, because I live in the Atlanta area, where it's just as cold, if not colder.
Well, Atlanta is a beautiful city. Thank you for being our guest here on the show. So I guess the first step in reinventing yourself or a company is hitting the wall. At least that's what you say in your book. And right now, hitting the wall might include, you know, finding yourself in a stagnated or a dull job, not getting a pay increase over the last 3 years or so, mm-hmm. getting laid off. Or if you're a company, the company sales may be stagnated or declining. Competitors may be taking market share away from you. From your experience, what are some of the most common forms of hitting the wall that individuals and companies encounter? And why is it so vital to hit the wall in order to, and recognize that you've hit the wall in order to reinvent yourself?
Well, in answer to the first part of your question, what influences it? I notice a lot of things you listed, and there are things I see commonplace too, are when we feel like things happen to us. We feel the victim of the wall. Like, you know, there's downturn in the economy, it's our competitors taking our business, or we're not getting the paycheck we wanted. I think a lot of walls we generate ourselves. I'm not saying 80%. I'm just saying at least 50% of the walls we generate ourselves. That we're not the result of hitting the wall. We've caused the wall to happen. Now, a lot of times it happens. You're getting what I call a firestorm where just, you know, you're under attack by competition or outside forces. But a lot of times there's things that you have influence over. What it all boils down to is when you do hit the wall, you have to realize it's kind of like a wake-up call. It's like somebody, you know, sort of, you know, slapping up beside the head and saying, hey, wake up, dude. It's maybe the universe's way of saying, hey, wake up, dude. Things aren't going to be the way they were. That's why I use the phrase, the economy is a down, it's different. Because, you know, I think we're all kind of over, it's down, okay? And everybody says down, and I heard that for years, till I realized it's never going to be back, quote, up to what it was before. It's never going to be the economy of 2006 or even 2007 when we're beginning to see a decline. When it comes, quote, back, unquote, it's going to be in a different direction, in a different location, in a different culture and atmosphere than we had before. And because of all the changes that take place repeatedly, and particularly with social media and things that are just going on in the workplace, I was writing an article for a newsletter that I sent out once a month that's going out this week, about all the changes just in the way that you receive information from, instead of getting DVDs or CDs, now you download live streaming, or instead of going out buying a book, you'll download the Kindle version of it. It was one of the first questions when my book came out was, do you have this on Kindle? And now authors can actually publish their own works and send them up to Kindle without having to go through a publisher.
Right. And that is one of the amazing new paradigm shifts in the world of publishing that have allowed many new authors to get into the world of publishing. My guest is Jim Mathis. So, all right, the world has changed. I'll buy that. And it has changed for some more than others. I think if you ask Apple Computer, for instance, the world is really pretty rosy right now for them, where it may stink for the United States Post Office or some of the other institutions that are out there. But change is there. We'll give that as a granted, Jim. So, but everybody that I know resists change, particularly the older that we get. So how do you overcome this resistance to get to the point where you're open to reinvention?
Oh, good question. I've got a birthday coming up this week, so I know I'm all over the getting older type thing. But I think you're right. I think a lot of people do resist change. But I know people who are young that resist change, too, because they get set in their ways. They get stuck in what I call mindless traditional practices, things that they've gotten used to. An interesting blog, I didn't write this, I read about this last week, was the difference between Apple and a company like Sears. Sears just announced all these closings that they're having going on with Sears and Kmart stores, 100 to 120. They're gonna shut down. Why? Because Sears is still trying to sell the same, according to this blog, the same old bland stuff they always did. Apple creates this innovative community that says, what can we do next? How can we push the envelope? What can we do to change things?
Well,
it permeates their culture. It's not their age necessarily. It's just that that's their culture.
Fair enough, and that is good. Now, Sears has always sold things that are mainstay products. Their Craftsman tool lines, their Kenmore lines of appliances still are perennial bestsellers. But you're right, as a retailing maven, Sears is no longer the retailing maven. Apple has taken that over. So Jim, here we are in 2012. It's the first business day of 2012. Give us your secret sauce. What's the process for reinvention that you have come up with that might help someone who wants to improve their, say, their income in the year 2012?
I think number one, go back and find out what people like about you who already buy from you. And I'll use the word buy in quotes there, okay? The people who already like your services, products, or whatever you do, why do they like you? I'd go back to the base, and this is something I stressed in the book. What is your base? Who likes you, and why do they like you? What is their demographic, pardon the phrase, profile? Are they more women than men? Are they a certain age group? What do you do that you've always done that appeals to them? I don't want to belabor the Sears point, but you know what Sears was famous for when I was growing up? Wasn't as much the Craftsman tools, the appliances. It was the guarantee and the service that stood behind them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my mother wanted to buy a Sears, a Kenmore washer and dryer because she said if it breaks, they'll come out here and fix it. And I remember buying some Sears products about 15 years ago, and they'd gotten to the point where they have to send the serviceman out just to look at the problem, evaluate, then another one to come out and schedule the appointment, then a third time to come out and fix it, and half the time they wouldn't stand behind it. So what were people buying from Sears? They were buying the service behind their products. Because, I mean, come on, Whirlpool makes a lot of the Kenmore things.
Sure, that is true.
Basically, you were buying their service. So go back to your listeners. Why are people buying from you? What is it you do that they really like? And go discover that and quote, unquote, sell that to them. Find out what they want in you. Don't try to branch out too much and get into other areas and let the competition kill you in areas that their strong suit is. But find out who your base is, why they like you, what they really like about you. I heard a radio talk show several months ago where somebody said, who's going to win the 2012 election? Now, wouldn't it be great if you could predict that thing today, the day of the Iowa caucus?
Wouldn't that be great?
Okay, here's your prediction for it. If people, this is what the talk show host, and the reason I'm not giving the name is I'm not exactly sure who it was, but somebody called in and said, who's going to win, you know, do you think President Obama will win re-election? And he thought for a moment, and he said, if people like what he's doing right now and they want more of it, then they'll vote him back into office. If they don't like what he's doing right now and they don't want any more of it, he'll get kicked out. And let me pause for a moment. That's the same true for you, Bill, for me, and for everyone listening right now. If people like what you're doing now and they want more of it, you'll be voted back into business in 2012 and 2013. If they don't like what you're doing and they don't want any more of it, you'll be out of business.
Well, I think that's good, and it's a great metaphor to use, Jim, but I'm going to challenge you on that just a little bit. Let's say that someone listening to the sound of our voice is a payroll clerk. And they are a very good payroll clerk within their company. They want to make a little bit more money this year. So they go around and they ask people, you know, what do you like about the work that they do? You're dependable, you're timely, your reports are always there, et cetera, et cetera. You are the best payroll clerk that I have ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. But you're working at ABC Company, and ABC Company only needs one payroll clerk. You are it. You're doing the best job that you can possibly do. How is it that you're going to make more money in 2012?
How are you going to leverage the fact that you're the best payroll clerk then and you're good at what you do into a way to make more money? This is where people have to be creative, and I outline it more in the book. But you have to find out, again, what they like about you and how. And another question I like to ask people is, you know, if I could do anything for you, if I could do something better, or if there's, is there anything you want me to do? Now, I'm a former minister. And one of my favorite questions I see in the Bible, if you don't mind me quoting that to your listeners right now, is when almost every miracle Jesus works, particularly in the Synoptic Gospels, he walks up to someone and does it say, let me cure your blindness, or let me heal you, your leper, or let me help you walk. He'll go, what do you want me to do for you? And I think we spend too much time trying to service what we think people want and not as much what they really like. Yeah, you're the best payroll clerk we've ever had. You're wonderful, blah, 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 blah. Okay, what's that worth to you? What else could I be doing for you that is something in my wheelhouse, in my, you know, in the area that I can do well? How can I leverage that? And there might be other companies other than ABC, or I can't remember the name of the company.
That was ABC. Yeah, no, you got it.
That would say, look, we like what you're doing there. Would you come do it for us? I don't know a lot of people that will, and they're not necessarily looking for a job, but if you're the best that that this company has, there's somebody that values that. I think it goes back to finding out what people value in you and leveraging that the best way you can. And it's got to be something you do good and you can perform regularly for folks.
All right, my guess is
I know that sounds kind of vague, but...
No, not at all.
It's kind of a vague question.
It's sound advice. My guest is Jim Mathis, author of the book Reinvention Made Easy, Change Your Strategy, Change Your Result. And Jim, if you're talking to my audience and you had to leave them with just one idea for 2012 for reinventing themselves, what would that be?
Change your strategy, change your results. If you want different results from what you've been getting in 2011, then change your strategy. Change the way you go about it, and it'll change the results you get. One of my little catchphrases I've been using on Twitter the last week or two is new year, new you.
I like that. A new year, a new you. All right, Jim, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Reinvention Made Easy?
A personal challenge to kind of provoke them, if you will, into wanting to reinvent themselves. The first time, I want them to be uncomfortable from reading the book. I want them to pick that book up, start reading it, and when they're done, go, dang, I'm not comfortable with the way things are. I'm not comfortable with the new normal that's going on in what I call the new world of work in the book, because I'm still functioning under a lot of old rules. I'm not comfortable with the rut I'm in or what I've settled into. First, I want them to be uncomfortable. Then I want them to start discovering in themselves what people value, how to reinvent their thoughts, how to reinvent their leadership style, their management, how to reinvent their own personal culture of followers and who, and I use the word followers from like Twitter, Facebook, and social media, but how you get people who are following you to buy more in and become part of what you do. Create sort of what I call the cult of you.
The cult of you. I like that. Jim, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Well, two places. You can either learn more about me personally and what I do and offering services to folks and just kind of all things reinvention would be jimmathis.com, JIMMATHIS.com. And there's links to the book on there, or another way is just to type in Reinvention Made Easy. No spaces, nothing capitalized, just reinventionmadeeasy.com.
Oh, that is great. Jim, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, Bill, I hope you have a great year. I hope all your listeners do, too.
Oh, thanks, Jim, and to you as well.